two teams battling to be able to have a Super Bowl championship. The Philadelphia Eagles versus the New England Patriots. And at the end of the day, one will rise and one will fall. Like Optimus Prime would say, one will rise, one will fall. At the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. Because when you compete, you're either going to win or you're either going to lose. So those two teams, the Eagles will be the challenge for the Patriots and vice versa. The Eagles are on the way of they're the obstacles that the Patriots will have to overcome if they want to be the champions and vice versa. The Patriots will be the challenge for the Eagles tonight. Many of you are getting ready, the wings and all the food ready because you want to see that game, that battle that's going to be taking place. We know, I mean, we talk about football, we talk about any sports, but we also realize in life we all face challenges. And some challenges are not as easy as we might expect. There's always going to be challenges everywhere we go. Every area of our lives, we are going to be faced with challenges, difficulties, obstacles that will keep you from advancing, that will keep you from going where God is leading you. You see, you either overcome them or you get overcome by them. You either overcome the challenges or you get overcome by them. It's either or. See, there was a huge challenge that was keeping the Israelites from getting their prize. The Israelites already left Egypt, and they went to the mountain that God showed Moses, and they were there. And so finally, Yahweh told Moses, move the community of Israelites and go. And about 2 years, Israel came so close to the promised land that they can send spies. They can send people to spy out the land and find out truly what kind of land it was. So the Lord commanded Moses, send 12 spies, 12 people, leaders of each of the tribes, to explore the land and find out what kind of land it is. You know, the inhabitants, what kind of cities are there in that land. So they went for 40 days. They went to explore the land. And so the text that we're going to be looking at in Numbers chapter 13, the 12 spies, they return, and now they're going to report to the people what they saw in the land of Canaan. So chapter 13, verses 25 through following, that's what I want to read to you about. What happened when the Israelites are so ready that they can now go and spy out the land and find out, wow, look at the kind of land that Yahweh is giving us. It is indeed true what he said, what he promised, that the land is flowing with milk and honey. That is a phrase to mean that means that the land is prosperous. It's very good land. The soil is great. So check out what happens in Numbers 13. Verse 25, at the end, this is the NIV, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses an account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. It is prosperous. Here it's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report among the land they had explored. They said, the land we explore devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in their own eyes, and we look the same to them. My friends, the Israelites are getting ready to take possession of the land that God promised to them. God said, I'm going to give you that land to all your descendants. That's yours, but you had to go and take possession of it. But there was a problem. There was an obstacle they needed to overcome. There was a huge challenge. And I want to call those challenges giants. They needed to face some giants that they were not ready. They thought they were not ready to face. You see, what was between Israel and their prize? Giants. In order for Israel to obtain the possession, Israel needed to overcome those giants. But it's interesting, they come back and report to Moses, and you see, the report is a great report because they said, the land that we saw is exceedingly good. The Lord is true. He is right. The land is prosperous. It flows with milk and honey. But, and there's the but, the people are powerful, and they have cities that are fortified. I mean, they have walls that we had to be able to, we had to penetrate if we want to even overcome those people. So I don't know how we're going to do this. We also saw descendants of giants. The descendants of Anak lived there. And that's a big word that, you know, in those days you heard about the Nephilim. It's like Americans hearing about ISIS, or, you know, it's like you panic just the moment you hear that name. The Nephilim lived there. And we're about to go and take possession of the land. Giants and many wicked. Look at the surrounding neighbors, the Amalekites, the Hittites, Jebusites, all those neighbors, so wicked nations, and they're powerful. And we're going to go there. Giants and many wicked nations came between Israel and their prize. Israel will have to face those giants if they truly wanted to overcome, if they truly wanted to take possession of the land of Canaan. You see, 10 out of the 12 spies that went out were afraid. 10 out of the 12 are afraid to face these giants. I mean, listen to their words in verse 31 through following, where they say, but the men who, we can attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And because they were so afraid, they spread out a bad rumor, a bad report among the Israelites community. And now everybody was grumbling and complaining because they was like, oh, Lord, why is the Lord bringing us here? They lied about the report. They did not say now that the land is prosperous. They say the land that we explored devours its inhabitants. Which is like, if the land is devouring people that live there, why do you see still so many people? But again, they were so afraid. They lied. They were afraid. Now, I just want to pause right here because I don't know about you. I read that and I just don't get it. This is why I'm going to tell you what I don't get. There's a challenge ahead of the Israelites. God's people, and they are afraid. They have fear to go into the land of Canaan and take possession. Why is God's people afraid? I don't get it. The same people that saw the Red Sea part in two on their behalf, the same people that God's been feeding and taking care of for about 2.5 years, why are you guys afraid now? And you know, fear will come to all of us at one time or another. But I know why fear happens. And I hope that you're listening, because maybe we made a discovery here why we get afraid sometimes. And I just looking at the text, I think I have the answer right here. Why we experience fear when we are about to face challenges in this life. Why you think you cannot overcome certain challenges and you're afraid. Look at what happened to the Israelites. You know why they're afraid? Here's the answer. Because they forgot who they were. Israel's identity always being based on Yahweh. His identity was found in the Lord. They were the sons of God. The sons of the Lord, who has, I mean, Marty was talking about trillions of angels. He can do whatever he wants. They were the sons of this God, and yet they're afraid of giants. I don't get it. I don't know, but maybe that's me. I don't, why would you be afraid when God just opened the Red Sea and you went in dry land. You saw the whale and the fish going and the wall of sea over there to your right, to your left, and you're afraid of some giants in the land? Because you have forgotten who you are. You're looking at the problems through your own eyes, and you're not looking at the problems through the God's of eyes. You see that the problem is bigger than your God. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody here today. You look at the problem and you think that that's bigger than the God you worship. And that's why you're afraid. When I have fear in my, fears and insecurities in my life, it's because at that moment I took the eyes of Jesus and I'm looking at the problem that's ahead of me. And I think that only by my power I can resolve it. That was the problem of the Israelites. And we all go through that occasionally. They're afraid. We can't attack those people. The Lord's been fighting for you, man. They are stronger than we are. Yes. Statistically speaking, yes, they were stronger than you are, but you have one bigger than any army on earth. But they have forgotten about that. You see, when we experience fear, it's because at that moment, we are not looking at the challenge through the eyes of our Lord. We're looking at that challenge, at those giants, through our own physical eyes. And we see them. They're giants. They're huge. And we're not. We live in camps, and they have cities and walls. It's like, yeah, I don't know that we can do this. Yes, you can, because you have one bigger than them. The God of the Hebrews is bigger than any obstacles that they could possibly face. The God of the Hebrew, the God of Moses, is the same God that you and I worship, and he's bigger than any obstacles, than anybody angry in your community, in your house. He's bigger than anything that you can possibly face. Amen. And if you believe that, you say amen, because that's true. So when we experience, when we are faced with challenges, and you and I, my friends, we are going to go face to face with obstacles in our lives. We're going to face challenges. But if you're afraid to face them, you're looking at them through your eyes. If the Lord already said, go take possession of the land, and you say, but I can't. You know, that's also disobedience. Because he already sending you there. That's he's giving you that, but you don't want it because you're afraid. Fear paralyzes you. Fear paralyzes you. It keeps you stuck. You know, stuck is not good. Many of you have been stuck in a snowstorm. And you know, it's like you're hoping for somebody to get you. So fear will get you stuck because God doesn't want you on the other side of the Jordan. He wants you to go take possession of the land. But they say, we can't. And they forgot who they were truly. They forgot their identity, that they are the sons of God. I mean, you and I, when you think about it, you and I are children of God, children of majesty. And if we are afraid, it's because we forgot. We get to forget that the one we belong to, and that's the Lord Almighty. Look at what happened in chapter 14. Go with me, chapter 14 now, because yes, we know they're afraid. And they already said we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we seem like grasshopper in their eyes. So you see, you know what a grasshopper is, right? This bug. So that's how they were looking at the giants. We look like little bugs. They can just like step on us and kill us. Chapter 14 says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Man, I kid you not. You know, this is dangerous attitude right here of God's children. They're afraid, and their fear now is making them wish to go back to the place where God took him out of. Israel is so afraid that he's wishing to go back to slavery rather than moving forward. How many of us sometimes want to be stuck a slave rather than going where God's leading us? They grumble and complain. I mean, now those 10 spies, because only Caleb and Joshua say, yes, we can do this. Let's go. Remember, Caleb in verse 30 of chapter 13, he says, he silenced the people and says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do this. He's the only one that was positive at the camp. But there was only two, Caleb and Joshua. Now the 10, they spread out that report, and they grumble against the community. Now the whole congregation of Israelites is complaining, like, why is God, have you been there before? It's like, why is God doing this to me? Perhaps you've been, you know, like, Lord, why don't you do this? Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing that thing to happen to me? And God's still laughing. He has a plan for you, but you're the one like, you don't get it. They raise their voices, they cry aloud, and all the Israelites grumble against the leaders, Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said, if only, can you imagine you wishing that you had died in the desert than going forward to take possession of the land? That sinful attitude against the Lord, if only we had died in the desert, why is the Lord bringing us here so that I get it now, so that our wives and kids be taken as plunder, so that we die here in the desert? That's what God is doing in my, That's just stinky, dangerous attitude that the Israelites are displaying right here. Fear made him wish that they had died. It made him wish to go back to Egypt. They even say, it's interesting, none of them was a leader enough to say, come on, let's go to Egypt. They say, let us select a leader. Oh, but you're so grumbling and complaining. Why don't you go? Right? No, they say, let's select a leader and so that we can go back to Egypt. Go back to the place of slavery. So you wishing to be a slave again rather than going where the Lord Yahweh is leading you. They were stuck. Why is God doing this to us? Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? Now, it's interesting. Look at what happens next. Then Moses, verse 5, and Aaron fell face down. You know what Moses and Aaron are doing here? They already recognize the sinful attitude. They just like imploring. It's like, please don't do this. You guys are really getting into dangerous territory right here against our God. Please don't do this. God got us out of slavery for a reason, to go to the land. The land is right there. We already saw that the fruit is great. It's prosperous. He said he will lead us into the land. And now you want to go back to Egypt? Please, they fell face down on the ground. Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, they tore their clothes. You know, when somebody tears their garment, they're saying with that, we are in disagreement with what you guys want to do. We're not part of that. So it's like, whatever you guys did, we are against that. And we're tearing our clothes off. When Jesus was asked, are you the king of the Jews? He says, I am. You know, the high priest, he tore his garment because he was in disagreement with Jesus. So Joshua and Caleb are doing that because they're not in agreement with this Israelite community that they don't want to go. And they said, let's go back to Egypt. He said, no. I mean, I highly recommend us to read the full story because you know what happened? God had to intervene. God had to come to camp. You know, I never want anything in my life that the Lord had to intervene in the way he did over here because I was disobeying him so much. You see, my friends, when we face giants in our own lives, in our own walk, we must always remember who we are, that we are the sons of the living God. Like I said, Israel's identity was in Yahweh. They forgot about it. There were only two of the 12 spies who knew that they could overcome this challenge because they had their true identity in the Lord, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Look at what they said in verse 8 through 9. In chapter 14. Let me just read 6 so you can get it. So Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. This is an amazing land we're talking about here. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and we'll give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Some translations say, do not be afraid of the people of the land. They are like bread for us. In other words, they're saying, we can devour them. Now, this is Joshua and Caleb. They're the only ones who believe in the camp that they can overcome the giants. They can face those giants because they realize if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us. They totally remain with their identity fixed on Yahweh. the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us. Newsflash, the Lord will not be pleased with you when you are grumbling and complaining against Moses and about you want to go back to slavery again. He will not be pleased with that attitude. But that's what they say, do not be afraid, do not do this. They tore their clothes and says, only do not rebel, because what you're doing right now is rebelling against what God already has determined. God already said to you, go take possession of the land, but you don't want to do it, and you're rebellious against God. God's command was to go and do it. You don't want to. You're rebelling against the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, only do not rebel against the Lord. You don't want to be on the other side of the Lord. You don't want to have the Lord as your enemy. Do not fear those people because their protection is gone. It's almost like Joshua and Caleb saying, you know who's going to need protection here? They will, because our God is greater than they are. They're the ones who are going to need protection. Their protection is gone, so do not fear them. Let's go. You know what they wanted to do after that? They wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb right there. Read the next verse. They wanted to stone him. I just don't get it. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? Oh boy, now you're in trouble. You started fearing going over there. Now, not just fear. Now you started talking trash about, oh, you want to go back to the past. And now you talk trash about the leaders that got placed in your path. And the Lord had to show up because he was about to kill the Israelites. When you read that story, Joshua and Caleb remind, do not rebel against the Lord. If he is pleased with us, if he delights in you and I, he will lead us as he's been leading us. And he will give us the land. You see, Joshua and Caleb, they have their confidence was in the Lord. That's why they are not afraid. You see, when you're afraid, you're looking at the problem or difficulty through your eyes, and your confidence is gone. When you get that confidence back and that trust, fear is gone. Why is it that these two men are not fearful? And that's true, they were giants in the land. That's true, those are wicked nations. They were not afraid because they understood we belong to Yahweh. And he led us all the way, and he will lead us there. So let's go fight. Their confidence was in the Lord. They knew the Lord is bigger than any obstacles, any giants that can come against them. This is why they say their protection is removed from us. They're the ones who are going to need protection when we go into the land. That's what Joshua and Caleb are saying. You see, my friends, when facing giants in your life, you have to trust the Lord. You cannot just go face them on your own. If they're giants, they're bigger than you are already. You cannot face giants on your own. You have to face them in the power of the Lord. You have to go because he's leading you there. And if the Lord is leading you anywhere, he will provide for you as you go when you obey. If he's leading you to go somewhere, he will eliminate any obstacles and he will use you to overpower whatever is on the way. He's not going to send you over there to die. It is your trust in the Lord that will give you the courage, the confidence to face any obstacles in this life. My friends, it is our faith, our trust in God that will give you courage to deal with whatever it is you're dealing right now. Many of us are dealing with some issues and things. It is your trust, your faith. Give me faith to do what you say. It is your faith in the Lord that will give you the courage, the ability to withstand anything that comes to you. And then at the end of the day, you will say, I'm here because the Lord is still with me. And if he is with me, who can come against me? But you have to believe in him. Joshua and Caleb are the only ones, and Moses and Aaron, of course, that believe that they can go and take care of those giants in the land. You see, courage, faith in God wipes out fear. When there's faith, there's no fear. And when there's fear, there's no faith. So when you're afraid, do not tell me you believe in God at that moment because you're afraid. Biblically speaking, faith, you kicked it out of the window. Because when there's faith, fear gets out. When fear comes, your faith is weakened. You're afraid. So they tried to kill Joshua. The Lord had to intervene. Now, I love Moses. One of the things I learned about Moses here is he was such a great leader because, you see, they were talking trash about him, and he intervened so that God would not kill Israel. Can you imagine? God was so angry at Israel. I don't know if you read the story. That he told Moses, you know what? I'm going to make you a great nation. Forget them. Oh, my word. I never seen God so angry here. And Moses said, oh, Lord, no, please, please. He intervened. He prayed for the Israelites and said, Lord, no, because the Egyptians are going to hear about that. Please, Lord, he said, you remember, you are like slow to anger and abounding in love. I beseech you, please forgive these people. Forgive us our sin. The Lord said, yes, they're forgiven. But guess what? The Lord might forgive us of some things, but the consequences will still be there. Because the Lord, he forgave them, which means he did not kill them. But now they had to go around the desert for 40 years. A year per day, a year for one of those days that they explored the land. 40 years in the wilderness. And God said that some of those older generation, they would not even make it to the land. Only Joshua and Caleb, because they were faithful to God. Can you imagine not even Aaron and Moses made it? That's how angry God was when people do not believe in him. People that say, you are my God, and you don't believe in him, man, that makes him angry. That's why Joshua and Caleb say, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us. But do not rebel against the Lord. You don't want to have him as your enemy. So there were some consequences for the Israelites. That's why when you hear on Sunday school that the Israelites went around the desert for 40 years, that's why. Because the land, they were so close. They explored the land. The Lord said, go take it. He said, no, we can't. Oh, you're going to behave like that. 40 years you're going to go in the desert until the old generation passed away and then new generation will come into the land. They were facing giants and they didn't think they can make it because they were looking at the giants and not looking at who they truly were, the sons of the living God. When you and I experience God's blessing. You see, if you want to experience God's blessing in your life, as you face giants, you always have to trust him. It's by believing in him that the blessings will come. When you disbelieve in him, you will not see God's blessing. You might even see instead his punishment on you. Like I said, Moses saved the people that day. But one time, Moses just had it, and he even did not make it to the land because he got fed up with. Because this is not the only time that Israel did it. In the desert, they complained to God every time. Always want to go back to Egypt. Egypt was almost like a giant that they just, you know, they didn't want to overcome. They just want to go with him. Giants are those things that will keep you stuck. Giants are those things that will keep you from going where God is leading you. And you and I can identify giants in our own lives. What is it that's keeping you from growing in Christ? What is it that's keeping you from being the man and woman that the Lord has called you to be? It might be a giant. And in order for you to overcome that giant, you need to have faith in the Lord that you can come, that you can go and overtake him. Can you identify your giants in your life today? Those things keeping you stuck, keeping you from going where the Lord wants you to go. My friends, you and I are still, we are still experiencing fear and insecurity in our lives as we face the giants. God has a word for you and I. If you have fears and insecurity, you don't know what's going to happen. The Lord said to you, trust me. You can do this. Trust me. Yes, I know that you're afraid right now, but trust me. You're afraid because your faith is weak and you're not looking at the full picture. The one that's greater, the God of angel armies, is by your side. And he said, trust me, I got you. We said, but Lord, yes, I know what you're going through. I know who the giant, but I'm bigger than the problem you're dealing with right now. But you still have to trust me. You see, faith was always exalted by Jesus in the New Testament. People got what they wanted because they had faith. You know, like Jesus said, if you believe, everything is possible for he who believes. Why aren't you trusting me? The Lord is saying to you and I today. You see, when you trust in the Lord, there is no room for fear. Joshua and Caleb trusted their God, and they knew that the Lord is greater than any obstacles that they would face, and they showed it. And they're the only ones of that generation who made it to the land. All already, but they made it, and they were able to take possession. But they had to now wander for 40 years because of the rest of the Israelites community did not get it. But at least the Lord gave him blessings after blessings because they remained faithful, even when everybody else around them wasn't faithful to Yahweh. You and I, my friends, will have to come to that. Like, I'm going to serve my God, and he's leading me to that place. He's telling me to do certain things, and I'm going to obey him. These are giants, but I can overcome them because my God is greater. Now, the question that you and I will have to wrestle with, do you truly believe that the God that you serve, the God of the Hebrews, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, do you and I truly believe that he's greater than any problem we can have? I say amen. He's bigger than anything that we can possibly have in this life. And he's able. Say, he is able. He's greater. He is stronger. You know, that's the God that we worship. The same God who opened the Red Sea for the Israelites, the same God that Joshua and Caleb worship, we worship Yahweh, our Lord. But you and I have to believe in him. You see, somebody who can teach us a thing or two about facing giants is David. This is what David wrote in Psalm 27. As he's navigating, as he's going, at one time he became a fugitive, but he wrote so many psalms because he realized the Lord is my fortress, my helper. Psalm 27, I just want to read three verses of that psalm because it's so beautiful. David's writing, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Man, tell me somebody who truly knew his identity because he said, the Lord. If the Lord is the stronghold of my life, you and I don't have to be afraid. Whatever life, whatever issues you're going through, economic issues, you may be looking for a job, you have no idea where you're going to go to college, whatever giants is you're facing right now, if the Lord is with you, he will guide you there. He will give you triumph, victory over whatever giants you're facing right now. You see, if God is truly your light and your stronghold, then you will have the confidence that these men had. Confidence to say, let's go. We're going to devour them. Those giants, they don't even know who they're messing with right now because we are the sons of the living God. To mess around with God's people is messing around with God. To go against God's people is going against God's God. Saul of Tarsus learned the hard way, persecuting Christians until Jesus stopped and ride on his track. So giants, my friends, yes, they can be huge, they can be big. Your God, my God, is bigger. And you see, I wrote this prayer when I was thinking about it because, you know, we've seen so many things. And my prayer for you and I is that our trust in God becomes more than anthems, more than something we say in church, more than the words that we say, that our faith in God is so evident that people look at us and they see the confidence that we have to face any challenge in this life. That people look, it's like, wow, I want that. I want my faith to be like yours, because you're not afraid. You're confident in the midst of chaos and turmoils. You're still, because the Lord is my light and my salvation and my stronghold. Whom shall I fear? That's why I have the confidence. Yahweh is our God. The same God of Moses is our God. And he is the Almighty, all-powerful. If he is with us, nothing can come against us. But we have to believe that. Not just something that we say because it sounds good. It sounds powerful. And you know how you show you believe that? When the giants come and attack you and you say, you know what, bring him. We're ready. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to face any giants right now. And I'm hoping if you're not ready right now, then the Lord's waiting for you to place your trust in him. I've been facing giants in two different countries now, two different churches. And wherever the Lord leads me, I'm ready to battle giants because I know my strength is his. And you've been facing giants in different cities. Wherever the Lord leads you, you say, Lord, I'm going with you. If you're pleased with me, you will give me the victory. Because you are my life, my light, my salvation, the stronghold of my life. Man, when you got the Lord, you don't need anything else.